Thank you, Ganesh, and dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam. I am Team Ready Sai's Bishu, and after Vedam, it is time now to move on to bhajans. Vedam and bhajans, how indelible they have been as part of the Sai mission. Right from the time as a young child, we have read how Bhagwan used to sing bhajans. He formed the Pandari Bhajan group, and later, very early in the avatarhood, he started the Veda Pathshala. Even before the university came into being, much before that, the only students that were there in Prashanti were the students of the Veda Pathshala. Of course, once the university came, the bhajan and the Veda movement acquired a totally new dimension, because you had hundreds of students chanting Vedam and singing bhajans en masse, and that is where the whole thing acquired such a great push. And of course, now in every corner of the world where there is a Sai center, there is Sai bhajans, and you have people of all color and races and cultures tuning themselves to the rhythm of the Vedas. Bhagwan had said that one of his missions is Vedodharana. Vedodharana, Bhakta Rakshana, Veda Samrakshana. So that is what has been going on, and we are so fortunate to be part of it, to benefit from it. And Swami was so particular that we maintain the purity of chants when we chant these Vedic mantrams, when we recite these Vedic mantrams. And it's the same with bhajans. If we do it in the way Bhagwan has instructed us to do, then we stand to gain so much. We stand to benefit from the bliss and the grace that these mediums confer on us. So with this spirit, in Radio Sai, we started the Vedam Tutor, and you have the bhajan classroom going on. So let's move on and learn one more bhajan today. And before we begin, let us offer our heart at his lotus feet. Let us remember him as we begin this endeavor. Let us offer our most reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most loving, beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we can fathom at least a little of your infinite love in our lives, and not only understand and cherish that love, but also share that with everyone around. Let us become messengers of your love. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we learn a bhajan adoring our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Krishna. And this is a bhajan that Bhagwan himself has sung and composed. This is how it goes.
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari, Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari.
So this is what we will be learning today, and this bhajan has four lines in all. Let us become familiar with the lyrics first, and then we'll move on as always to the tune, the raga, the beat, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to some beautiful insights about this bhajan by someone who has been a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group for more than 20 years and even today continues to sing in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir, Brother Tara Shankar. So that's coming up towards the end. For the moment, let's get familiar with the lyrics.
मधुवन संचारी श्याम मुरारी श्री मधुसूदन मुरली धारी मधुवन संचारी श्याम मुरारी माधव मोहन मयूर मुकुटधर मथुरा नाथा प्रभु ಗಿರಿಧಾರಿ, ಮಥುರಾ ನಾಥ ಸಾಯಿ ಗಿರಿಧಾರಿ.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line very slowly. Anirudh follows Ravi Kumar after each line. And you too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Madhyam.
ಮಧುವನ ಸಂಚಾರಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಮುರಾರಿ,
ಮಧುವನ ಸಂಚಾರಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಮುರಾರಿ,
ಮಧುವನ ಸಂಚಾರಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಮುರಾರಿ,
ಮಧುವನ ಸಂಚಾರಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಮುರಾರಿ.
ಶ್ರೀ ಮಧುಸೂದನ ಮುರಳಿಧಾರಿ,
ಶ್ರೀ ಮಧುಸೂದನ ಮುರಳಿಧಾರಿ,
ಶ್ರೀ ಮಧುಸೂದನ ಮುರಳಿಧಾರಿ,
ಶ್ರೀ ಮಧುಸೂದನ ಮುರಳಿಧಾರಿ.
ಮಧುವನ ಸಂಚಾರಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಮುರಾರಿ,
ಮಧುವನ ಸಂಚಾರಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಮುರಾರಿ.
ಮಾಧವ ಮೋಹನ ಮಯೂರ ಮುಕುಟಧರ,
ಮಾಧವ ಮೋಹನ ಮಯೂರ ಮುಕುಟಧರ,
ಮಾಧವ ಮೋಹನ ಮಯೂರ ಮುಕುಟಧರ,
ಮಾಧವ ಮೋಹನ ಮಯೂರ ಮುಕುಟಧರ,
ಮಥುರಾನಾಥ ಪ್ರಭು ಗಿರಿಧಾರಿ,
ಮಥುರಾನಾಥ ಪ್ರಭು ಗಿರಿಧಾರಿ,
ಮಥುರಾನಾಥ ಸಾಯಿ ಗಿರಿಧಾರಿ,
ಮಥುರಾನಾಥ ಸಾಯಿ ಗಿರಿಧಾರಿ.
ಮಧುವನ ಸಂಚಾರಿ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಮುರಾರಿ.
So that is the melody of this bhajan you heard in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let us learn a little more about what makes this bhajan so beautiful. Anirudh is here with us in the studio. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga behind this composition?
Saram Vishu, as you were saying, what makes this bhajan beautiful? The fact that it is Bhagwan's composition,
okay,
I think that
yes.
is the,
the most beautiful aspect.
Yeah, it's his own composition and very sweet bhajan it is.
Yes.
He has sung it many number of times.
Yes.
And if you see the raga aspect, to my knowledge, I don't know whether this bhajan belongs to any particular raga.
Mm-hmm.
Means I can't tell it belongs to a single raga like how we tell in other bhajans.
Yes.
But as I listen to this bhajan, what comes to my mind is one raga, Rageshri. It's
okay.
A beautiful raga.
Okay.
And the notes of this raga are
Ni sa ga ma da ni sa sa ni da ma ga re sa.
So you have in this raga
sa ga ga is shuddh, ma da
is also shuddh.
Ni.
Ni is ni one. Komal
okay,
ni.
Ni komal.
Sa ne da ma ga re sa.
It is such a divine and
really?
Filled with ecstasy kind of feel this raga gives. And I don't think there are many bhajans composed in this raga. Generally what we hear in mandir are all Darbari, Ahir Bhairav, all this kind of raga. This is a little bit rare raga where
yes.
you have not many bhajans. And of course, you have a composition titled Sundara Vadana Gopala.
Okay.
It's a beautiful bhajan composed by Kaustubh ji. Okay.
Kaustubh Pare.
Yeah, Kaustubh Pare.
Okay.
I think it's there in the Bhavanjali Volume 6.
Okay.
It's a beautiful bhajan. I'll just sing two lines of it.
Sure.
Sundara Vadana Gopala, Sundara Vadana Gopala, Nayana Sunayana He Nandalala, Nayana Sunayana He Nandalala, Sundara Vadana Gopala. It goes like that.
Amazing. So this bhajan has the feel of Rageshri.
Yeah, Rageshri, but in fact if you look at each line swaras, like there is no pancham in the rag Rageshri, but in fact if you look at every line swara, there is a pancham.
There is pancham.
And
yeah.
So that's what I said, like you can't categorize it to one particular raga.
Yes.
The way in which the tune
flows,
that feel is given by kind of Rageshri. And in fact if you look at
Madhava Mohana Mayura Mukutadara,
you have a play of
Nisa Nisa Dainida.
Both Nishads are coming here.
Yes.
That has a total different feel from Rageshri.
Yes. So, Anirudh, let's go and let's do this swaras line by line, and Arvind Sai is here to follow as we do each line.
Yes, sir.
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari Magapamare Sasadani Sagaga Madapama.
Magapamare Sasadani Sagaga Madapama.
Shri Madhusudana Murali Dhari Dada Padasani Dapa Padamagaga Madapama.
Dada Padasani Dapa Padamagagamadapama.
Again we come back to the first line. Next line.
Madhava Mohana Mayura Mukutadara Madani Sa 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 Nisa Nisa Da Sa Nida.
Madani Sa 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 Nisa Nisa Da Sa Nida.
Mathura Natha Prabhu Giridhari Dada Pani Dapama Padama Gagama Dapama.
Dada Pani Dapama Padama Gagama Dapama.
And the last line is, instead of Prabhu Giridhari, Sai Giridhari, where the notations remain the same.
Same. Okay, so as you mentioned, Anirudh, there are not many bhajans in this raga.
Yeah, it's a very unique composition.
Yes. So, shall we move on to the beat?
Yeah, definitely. The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, and the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari.
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari.
I think that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
So we are now familiar with the lyrics, the raga, the tala. Let's move on to the bhava, the feeling with which this bhajan should be sung. And for this, let's understand what each word in this bhajan could convey. Let's start with the first line.
मधुवन संचारे श्याम मुरारी.
The first word here is Madhuvana, referring to Madhu and Vana,
Madhu means honey and Vana means forest. Lord Krishna, as a young cowherd, would take his cows for grazing to the forest of Madhuvana. He would make them drink the cool nectarine waters of Madhukunda, a water body there. He would dance with the gopis and the gopalas on the banks of this Madhukunda in the autumn season. And at that time, Madhuvana was filled with Kalpavriksha trees, covered with the most nectarine beehives that produce the sweetest honey or madhu. And that is perhaps the reason why this forest came to be known as Madhuvana, filled with honey, filled with sweetness. This is one meaning of Madhuvana, and as we move on in this program, we will discover more. Let's move on to the second word, which is Sanchari, which means he who roams. The third word is Shama, which is one of the names of Lord Krishna, meaning one with a complexion as dark as the rain-bearing clouds. Swami explains, Krishna is described as blue in physical color because he is as deep and inscrutable as the blue sky or the blue waters, the infinity that pervades up and below. Blue is actually the color of infinity that the eye comprehends, although the sky has no color at all. So too, Krishna has no color or attributes, but in order to comprehend him, in order to fathom him, in order to give him an attribute, the mental eye gives him the color of blue. Bhagavan also says Krishna draws the mind away from sensory desires towards divinity, towards sublimity. It pulls us away from everything else because everything else is inferior and less valuable. Krishna satisfies the deepest thirst of man, the thirst of man for peace, for joy, for wisdom. And that is why he is Meghashyama, dark blue as a rain cloud. The very sight of the rain cloud is so refreshing. That is how refreshing is the Lord. So those are some of the ways of understanding this word Shama. Moving on, the fourth word is Murari. He is Murari because he slayed the demon Mura. Mura in Sanskrit means to cover. All of us are covered by the ignorance of our true nature. We think of ourselves as the body, whereas we are actually much, much more than the body. We are indeed the Atma, the eternal soul. So the demon Mura represents our ignorance, and Lord Krishna bears the name Murari because he destroys this ignorance and enlightens us. So when we sing this line, Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari, we can fill our mind with such sublime thoughts. We can think of the Lord who is the inscrutable one of blue color, who is one of sweetness filled with the fragrance of honey. He is the one who satisfies our deepest thirst for peace and joy. And he is the one who helps us overcome our body attachment and weaknesses and elevates us. Let's move on to the second line.
Shri Madhusudana Murali Dhari.
Here the first word is Shri. Shri is a term of respect while addressing any gentleman in Indian culture. Sometimes in this line, instead of Shri, He is also used. Bhagwan has sung this bhajan using He Madhusudana, and sometimes as Shri. The second word is Madhusudana. This is in fact one of the thousand names of the Lord in the sacred Vishnu Sahasranamam. It means he who slayed the evil demon Madhu. Now, Madhu is a term used in Vedanta or philosophy to refer to the fruits of actions. Since the Lord destroys the effects of the fruits of our actions, he bears the name Madhusudana. Bhagavan also says Madhu means something which is sweeter than even honey. And for humans, what is sweeter than honey? Swami says it is ego. Yes, ego is so dear to every person. Every person holds on to their ego as if it is sweeter even than honey. And Swami says the Lord comes to destroy this ego. That is why he is Madhusudana. In fact, that brings to mind a very revealing incident narrated by Professor Kasturi in his autobiography Loving God. Once after a tour of North India, Bhagwan directed Professor Kasturi to go to Mumbai by plane from Hyderabad and wait for him there at Dharmakshetra. Professor Kasturi had just finished a packed schedule of talks drawn up for him by the state president of many states like West Bengal, Odisha and so on, and he was feeling highly elated after he reached Dharmakshetra. He was eager to express his joy to Bhagwan over the hundreds of devotees who had thronged to hear the Lord's glory from him. He also wanted to tell Bhagwan about the various miracles that he had witnessed and the wonderful service being rendered by the sevadals that he had seen and so on. When Bhagwan finally came to Dharmakshetra, Kasturi stood on the steps leading to the door of the hall and Swami asked him, "When did you reach here?" And Kasturi sir replied, "2 days ago, Swami." Bhagwan then sped up the marble steps with the 3 devotees who had travelled with him in the car. Kasturi followed Swami and stood before the door of Bhagwan's room, but the door was closed. So he waited and waited. And finally, when there was no response for more than an hour, Kasturi went down to the room he had been allotted in Dharmakshetra. During dinner time, he sat along with the others on the floor facing Bhagwan's table. Bhagwan was indeed bubbling with fun even while propounding profound truths, but not once did Swami speak to Professor Kasturi as he usually did. And this was very unusual because Professor Kasturi had returned from such a long trip. He was so disappointed, he lost all taste for food, sleep deserted him, restlessness set in, and he was so despondent. Why was Bhagwan not talking to him? He feared that he might not be called to translate Bhagwan's Telugu discourse, and that is the very assignment for which he had come to Dharmakshetra. But fortunately for him, Bhagwan did give him that opportunity. He did translate a discourse, and Kasturi felt that Swami had pardoned him for whatever mistake he may have done. And so he decided not to inquire about his mistake, and nor was he able to actually discover it on his own. So he followed Bhagwan and others into the room on the first floor after the discourse. He stood there and stared, but again there was this cold treatment from Bhagwan. He did not speak a word to him. Crestfallen, Kasturi went down to his room and now wrote a letter to Bhagwan, pouring his heart's sorrow. But this letter only got smudged due to his copious tears, and then he just brushed that letter aside and told himself, "Anyway, Swami knows everything, why should I write to him?" And he spent an hour of tossing about. He just could not sleep, and then suddenly Mr. Indula Shah came up to him and said, "Kasturi, it's dinner, Swami's coming." And so Kasturi went to the dining room, and even though he ate, he was feeling miserable. He was inwardly praying to Bhagwan to save him, to forgive him and be the usual self. Later in the day, Mr. Indulal Shah came down from Bhagwan's room with a broad grin, and he told Professor Kasturi, "Baba is leaving for Ahmedabad by the 5 o'clock flight. Be ready. We return the day after." So the moment Professor Kasturi heard this news, he was in delight. He just closed the room and he was jumping up and down in happiness, in sheer joy that he was actually now again part of Baba's troop to go to Ahmedabad. So he prostrated on the floor thanking Bhagwan, and he was ready the next day by 3 a.m. even though they were supposed to be ready by 5 a.m. And he was sitting there very tense and very expectant, and he was wondering, will Bhagwan again now start talking to him? And that morning, when Mr. Indulal Shah came to his room, even before he could ask anything, Professor Kasturi got up and said, I'm ready, brother." But Mr. Indulal Shah said, "I'm sorry, you are not wanted in this trip." And you can imagine the state of Professor Kasturi. It felt almost the whole world had crashed on his head. Somehow he reconciled himself, and when Bhagwan's group returned after this trip back to Mumbai, now to continue this series of ordeals that he was going through, Professor Kasturi was now ordered to go back by train from Mumbai to Puttaparthi. Swami and the group that accompanied Bhagwan, they would fly to Hyderabad from Mumbai and then reach Bangalore. But Professor Kasturi was not in that group. He was to travel in the train. And Professor Kasturi says he felt like hiding somewhere and just disappearing, but he could not, because the Sanatan Sarathi magazine had to be put through the press and posted. There was no time to even shed a tear or mourn. So he just returned to Puttaparthi and got busy with his work. And when Bhagwan finally returned to Puttaparthi, the torture for Kasturi continued. He would go to Bhagwan's room and he would stand leaning against the wall and he would listen to the hearty laughter of everyone else there having these beautiful interactions, delightful sessions with Swami, which he was always part of but now deprived of. And he felt so lost, so helpless. Deep inside, it was a pain that was tearing into every pore of his being, and several days passed like this. The cold treatment from Bhagwan continued. And later, after the duties for the Sanatan Sarathi magazine were done, Professor Kasturi spent a few days at Bangalore with his daughter and her children. And when he heard that Bhagwan had reached the Brindavan Ashram in Bangalore, he went there. Very nervously, he inched his way to Bhagwan's room. And when he went there, Swami smiled at him. And now he felt so encouraged, so he went. And just to have some conversation with Swami, he said, "Swami, my grandson Prasad has got a seat in the Technology Institute." Bhagwan heard that, but very coldly he said, "Let that be, okay." And then Bhagwan started reprimanding him. Swami said, "What has happened to you? Your pride is unbearable. Your swollen head will burst someday, Kasturi. What did you do in Odisha? You should get a merciless spanking." Those were the words of Bhagwan, and Professor Kasturi pleaded, saying he didn't know what Bhagwan was referring to, what happened in Odisha that Swami is so upset about. And Swami said, "Ah, you don't know?" And Swami went to the next room and he opened a handbag and he brought out a printed sheet of paper containing the schedule of Kasturi's program in Odisha as fixed by the organizers. And then Bhagwan placed his finger on one entry and holding it before Kasturi's eyes, he ordered him to read it. And Swami said, "See what is written here. 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Interviews with prominent personalities." And Professor Kasturi tried to understand what Bhagwan was referring to. He took some time to recover and then he said, "Yes, Swami, on my upward journey to Calcutta in the Howrah Express, the secretary of that organization joined me at Khurda Road Station in Odisha and he consulted me about the program and he said, 'Can you meet some teachers and others who would like to know more about Baba?' And I said, 'Of course.'" And then Bhagwan asked, "When you saw this announcement, did you tell them that it was wrong?" And Kasturi meekly said, "No, Swami." And Bhagwan replied, "There lies your pride, your bloated ego." And now, the moment Bhagwan said this, Professor Kasturi was in tears. He fell at Bhagwan's feet. And in fact, he was so grateful that Bhagwan was chiding him and plucking the ego by its roots. And the merciful Bhagwan then continued, "Get up, send a telegram to those people that if they repeat such nonsense, you will not enter Odisha." And Kasturi said, "I shall do, Swami." And later, as he writes this episode, Professor Kasturi admits that when he first saw those words on the paper, "Interviews with prominent personalities," he says, "I must confess that the Orissa debacle happened because the words prominent personalities tickled me as did the word interviews with VIPs. Of course, I rationalized the situation and justified my silence acceptance as an exhibition of good manners or even of disdain," Professor Kasturi says. "But Baba knew that my ego felt elated when the word personalities and prominent personalities were ushered in for the interview." He says this revealed a deep spiritual flaw and Swami graciously undertook to correct it. Kasturi sir was so dear to Swami and Swami was so concerned about his beloved devotee's spiritual progress that he did not want even an iota of ego to surface in his character. And that is the reason why Professor Kasturi was so much loved by everyone, because he was so close to the Lord's heart. So that's how the Lord destroys our ego. He is Madhusudana and he fills our being with Madhu, with his divine nectar, which is even sweeter than Madhu. Now the other word in this line is Murali Dhari, coming from Murali, the flute that Lord Krishna plays, and Dhari means to hold. The Murali or the Indian flute made from bamboo reed is what Lord Krishna places on his lips and out comes divine tunes mesmerizing Gopalas, Gopikas, cows, trees, plants and the entire creation. That flute rested on the Lord's lips and emanated such soulful music. And what is the qualification of the flute for this blessing? Baba says, because the flute is simple, straight and hollow, hollow with no ego, straight with no crookedness, and simple with absolutely no ostentation. So there again, the Lord is telling us how every time we sing Muralidhara, we have to pray to the Lord to make us as egoless, as simple, and as light and beautiful like the flute. So in this line, Sri Madhusudana Muralidhari, we call out to the loving Lord who spares no effort in uprooting our ego, the Lord who exhorts us to become beautiful instruments, to be carriers of His music and His love by eliminating our ego and allowing ourselves to be channels of His music and His beauty and His love. Let's move on now to the third line.
मधुवन संचारे श्याम मुरारी.
This is a repeat of the first line. If you take the word Madhuvana, Swami says Madhuvana also represents our heart. Madhuvana Sanchari means the Lord who roams in the devotee's heart. And when does our Lord pervade our heart? Only when the heart becomes sweet as Madhu, with all the noble virtues emanating the fragrance of sacred qualities. Moving on, we earlier saw that the color blue represents something very deep. Hence the name Shyama is very apt, because the Lord resides in the depth of our hearts. We also saw that Murari means one who removes our ignorance. So in this context, it refers to the Lord who removes all that is negative in us and fills us with the sweetness of positivity. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Madhava Mohana Mayura Mukutadhara.
The first word here is Madhava, in name of Lord Krishna again. It can be split as Ma and Dhava, meaning husband. Ma refers to not only Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of all types of prosperity and wealth, but Prakriti, it refers to nature. In another context, Swami says Ma also refers to Maya, illusion. So Madhava is one who is the master of nature, who has the mastery over illusion. The name Madhava also means the Lord who is experienced by the seeker who has stilled his mind through Mauna, Dhyana and Yoga. This is supported by a phrase in the Mahabharata which says that Ma stands for Mauna, that is silence, Dha stands for Dhyana, that is meditation, and Va stands for yoga or spiritual practices. So the Lord is called Madhava because He Himself is endowed with silence, meditation, and He is the epitome of all spiritual practices. He silently observes the mental, physical and intellectual activities of all beings. He is the ever non-interfering observer, the eternal witness, the master of all creation, Madhava. Mohana means he who is enchanting and captivating. Mayura means peacock. Mukutadhara. Mukuta means crown and dhara means to wear. Mayura Mukutadhara means who has the peacock feathers on his crown. In fact, on one occasion while speaking to the students about Lord Krishna in the Vrindavan hostel in Bangalore, Swami spontaneously, very casually asked for a towel to be brought and he wrapped it around his head and he said, "See, this is how Lord Krishna used to tie a cloth around his head. He did not have a crown on his head all day long. It was just this cloth which was tied in the simple, elegant manner." And Swami said, "Peacocks were in plenty there." So playfully, Lord Krishna would place a peacock feather on his simple headgear. Peacock is undoubtedly one of the most beautiful creations of the Lord. And in fact, peacock is the vehicle of Lord Subramanya, Lord Muruga, just like the mouse is the vehicle of Lord Ganesha. So in this line, Madhava Mohana Mayura Mukutadhara, we call out to the Lord who is the master of Mother Nature, who represents all types of prosperity and wealth, master of nature, master of illusion. He is the enchanting one with the lovely peacock feathers on his crown. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Mathuranatha Prabhu Giridhare.
Here the first word is Mathura. The second word is Natha, which means master. Bhagavan says Mathura is not just a geographic location referring to the birthplace of Lord Krishna. Mathura is the heart suffused with nectarous love. That is Mathura. Another interpretation he gives is that Mathura signifies our chitta. Mathura Natha means he who rules our chitta. Chitta is our inner consciousness. Mathura Natha is one who presides our inner self. So Mathura Natha is one who presides our inner self. The third word here is Prabhu, which means Lord. This too is one of the 1000 names in the Vishnu Sahasranamam. It means one who has the supreme power to attract the minds of all towards himself. The fourth word is Giridhari. Giri means mountain and Dhari means he who holds. There are two instances of the Lord bearing the mountain upon himself. One was during the time of churning of the milk ocean, the ocean of milk, when he assumed the form of the great tortoise to bear on his back the Mandara mountain, which was used as the churning stick. And the inner meaning of this episode is that the Lord supports the mind intellect of a spiritual aspirant, just like he supported that Mandara mountain while he or she is churning his own heart, this milk-like pure heart of devotion. When our mind and heart is churned, the Lord supports us. And how does this churning happen? This churning happens through Shravanam and Mananam, through study and reflection. And then in the end comes out Amrita, or the nectar of immortality. The other instance about the Lord carrying the mountain is the famous episode of the Lord bearing the Govardhana mountain. The residents of Gokul Vrindavan used to worship Lord Indra, the rain god. But on one occasion, as the story goes, little Krishna persuaded Nanda to stop the usual puja for Indra and instead worship the Govardhana hill. Indra was stung by this neglect and he poured terrible rains on the village. But Krishna held the Govardhana hill aloft on his little finger and he invited the entire village to take shelter under his protection. And he did this for 7 long days. So the Lord bearing the mountain is symbolic of his lifting the burdens of our lives. That is, if only we listen and surrender to him, if only we obey him. So in this life, we adore the Lord who is the Lord of Mathura, the one who rules our heart and consciousness, the one who protects us from hurdles, however mighty like mountain they may be. The Lord who is always there for his devotees. That is Mathura Natha, Prabhu Giridhari. Prabhu means Bhagwan, the Lord. Let's move on to the last line.
Mathura Natha, Sai Giridhari.
Here the only new word is Sai, referring to our beloved Lord Sai. Sai, the Lord of our heart. Sai Giridhari, the protector of our beings. Sai, who is the center of our lives. So with that, we have got some understanding of the subtle meaning of this beautiful bhajan. And with these thoughts and reflections, let us proceed to listening to this complete version of this bhajan as sung by our beloved Bhagwan. Let us listen to Swami singing this bhajan for all of us.
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari.
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari.
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari.
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari.
Madhava Mohana Mayuram Kutasara.
that is Madhuvana in the voice of beloved Sai Krishna. And now here is a short conversation with Brother Tara Shankar, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who now works in the Sri Sathya Sai Sadhana Trust in the Prashant Nilayam Ashram. A very gifted singer, percussionist and guitar player, Tara now shares his insights about this beautiful bhajan. Saram Brother Tara Shankar, and welcome to the studios of Radio Sai to this program, Bhajan Classroom.
Thank you very much, Saram.
So please tell us, you are here with your guitar. If you can give us some insights about how we could present this bhajan in a beautiful manner. This is Swami's bhajan. It's a short bhajan, but it's a very sweet bhajan. If you can share your impressions about what are the things that we should be careful about so that when we sing this bhajan, we can do justice to the melody of this bhajan.
It's basically a very light bhajan, very soft, lots of waves and curves are not given that much of importance. Well, not those straight khatkas, just waves. Waves and waves.
Very flowy.
It's just floating. So if I would sing it like this while practicing, this would be my practice style. As usual, breaking down every note, every word, and starting note, landing note. Those are prerequisites you must be careful about. So,
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari.
Well, this
Shama Murari.
This is very, very important. Actually, this pattern is going to repeat even the next line and even the last line.
Okay.
So this pattern is very important to follow.
In this bhajan?
This bhajan, yeah. This bhajan, this pattern has to be followed meticulously. And actually, there are chances of going, you know, off the Shruti. Even maybe when I sang it right now, maybe I went little off.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. It's like
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari Shama Murari.
Those notes.
Shama Murari Shri Madhusudana Murali Dhari. Shri Madhusudana Murali Dhari.
Again, Dhari
Shama Murari.
Yes. So that similar pattern is repeated.
Shri Madhusudana Murali Dhari.
Shri Madhusudana Murali Dhari. First time when we sang it, it was quite plain. Second time you can add a little bit of curve, like
Shri Madhusudana Murali Dhari.
It's not exactly a curve, a slightly more wavy.
You can perhaps give a small touch.
Touch.
Give it highlight. Little more beautiful.
You highlight the curve.
Yes.
Madhuvana Sanchari Shama Murari.
Whatever, however.
Madhava Mohana Mayura Mukutadhara. Madhava Mohana Mayura Mukutadhara.
Even here, it's all a wave. There is no curve as such. And starting note line.
Madhava Mohana Mayura Mukutadhara.
That much is enough. Then again the first pattern is going to repeat.
Mathuranatha Prabhu Giridhari.
Yes.
You noted that?
Yes.
Mathuranatha Sai Giridhari.
So, nothing much to be done. Just take care of little things. Small things will always make big. You take care of small things, rest is always taken care of. During practice time,
yes.
When you're present, you are a listener. You are a companion of Swami. You are listening along with Him.
Yes.
So we enjoy together.
Wonderful.
I think it's really what you shared, even though it's a very small insight, but as you mentioned, these small things is what make the bhajan so beautiful.
Yes.
And if you are careful about the small things, then definitely what will emerge will be a very melodious offering to Bhagwan.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sairam.
So that was Tara Shankar, who has been a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group for more than 2 decades now. And with that, we come to an end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this. Please send us your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background music was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With the hearts full of gratitude, we offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. And with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. My colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting to take over for the segment based on Bhagwan's discourses, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Relish the divine messages of Bhagwan, and we'll dwell on them a little more after this, but in a different manner. We will try to unravel the potent messages latent in Indian rituals. That is what we will do in the fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, after this episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. So that's coming up 1 hour from now at 8:30, 8:35 p.m. For the moment, here is another beautiful cup of ambrosia, the ambrosia of His divine messages, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.